You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it's Wednesday, which means it's time to dig into our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
I've sent the following wire to President Truman. My heartiest congratulations to you on your election.
I'm aware of my blackness, but I don't go around and look and see whether I'm different than someone else.
Fail a lot quickly, and then eventually you'll succeed.
I worry that the person who thought up Muzak may be thinking up something else.
As students and teachers plunge into a new school year, let us stop now to remember a Bay City teacher who took a different sort of plunge right over Niagara Falls. And Annie Edson Taylor was able to tell the story of her daredevil feat. Rachel Clark of the Michigan History Center is here with us now. Rachel, when did Annie Edson Taylor climb in her barrel and go over Niagara Falls? It was the Canadian Horseshoe Falls, right?
It was. She went over the Canadian Horseshoe Falls October 24th, 1901, which happened to be her birthday.
Oh, boy. And we are not talking about some youngster, are we, right? This was her 63rd birthday?
It was. She tended to fib about her age, some accounts by up to about 20 years, but this was her 63rd birthday that she went over the falls.
All right, before we get further into Annie's feat, making her the first recorded person to go over the mighty falls and survive, let's talk about Niagara Falls, especially at that start of the 20th century. Certainly was a big headache once upon a time for travelers on the Great Lakes, right, until the Erie Canal?
Yes. Prior to 1805, travel between Lakes Ontario and Erie required a very long portage. So once the Erie Canal was open, it made it possible to avoid the falls if you wanted.
Okay, so that is out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
When we're looking at this time at the beginning of the 20th century, was Niagara Falls the tourist attraction that it is today?
It actually was. In the early 19th century, the railroad allowed people to visit the falls on holiday. So by the mid-1800s, people do spend time there. And then in 1859, for whatever reason, you start getting people who are tightrope walking across parts of the river and near the falls, not quite over the falls, but you start to get those types of activities going on. And that just increases people's want and need to go see the falls. So by 1900, it is a tourist attraction.
So people had been tightrope walking. What about this idea of, let's see if we can go over the falls and live to tell about it? What led to that? And particularly, why did a 63-year-old teacher from Bay City decide, yep, that's for me?
So by 1900, Annie Taylor, she was no longer working, and she was having a hard time making ends meet. She was in Bay City still at that time and reading newspaper accounts of the Pan-American Exposition in Buffalo, New York, and was reading about how no one had ever gone over the falls. People are tightrope walking over it, but no one had ever actually gone over the falls. And for whatever reason, she decided she wanted to do that. And I can say, I taught middle school for 11 years, and never once did I think, I've got an idea. I'm going to go hop on a barrel and go over Niagara Falls. So I'm not sure exactly why she thought it was a good idea.
Wow. And going into a barrel, what do we know about the barrel she used? And did she wear any kind of protective clothing?
She designed the barrel. It was essentially a beer barrel, wooden, 4 foot tall, made of oak and iron. She padded it with a mattress, and she didn't wear any protective clothing. She anchored it down with an anvil or something heavy in the bottom of it. And she brought her lucky pillow with her. So she really, you know, you read stories about people since that have gone over the falls in these very highly engineered, highly structured devices, still a lot of barrel-shaped things.
Yeah.
But she really didn't have a lot with her, just a pillow.
A pillow, her lucky pillow. So tell us about the day. Tell us about the day of the drop on October 24th, 1901. What happened?
So they had to delay the drop a couple days because of weather. 2 days prior to her drop, she actually sent a cat over to test the barrel, which makes my heart hurt.
Oh, my heart hurt just hurt, too.
Oh. They made it appear the cat survived. I don't know if the cat survived. There's a photo of her with the barrel and a cat, but I don't know if the cat actually survived. So there had been some hype up to this point. And so by the time the day rolled around, she hopped in the barrel and had a crew row her out into the middle of the river, about a mile up. And they pumped the barrel full of air with bike pumps, essentially, and sealed it up and sent her on her way.
Sent her on her way. And I think I remember hearing when she went over the falls, she actually got stuck behind that curtain of water. Mm-hmm. And I know I've spent my lifetime visiting the Horseshoe Falls. Mm-hmm. And when you go down to the Table Rock down there and go under and stand and watch that curtain and look at them hitting the rocks below, it is just awe-inspiring.
It is. It's loud and it's so powerful. And she did get stuck behind the falls for a time. But then the force of the water popped the barrel back out and a signal went out to a crew to go fish her out of the river.
And how was she after this stunt?
She was fine, believe it or not. She had a cut on her head and she was pretty dazed. She was in shock and they pulled her out. But overall, she was perfectly fine.
What did she have to say about her experience?
I love her quote. So she said, "I would sooner walk in the mouth of a cannon knowing it's going to blow me to pieces than make another trip over the falls." So she did not want to do it again. And she actually suggested nobody else do it. She didn't enjoy it by any means. So.
Well, you just stop. And I looked it up just to kind of remind myself that the Horseshoe Falls is the most powerful waterfall in North America. That vertical drop is 160 feet. She's in a beer barrel with her lucky pillow and a mattress. How did she not get killed?
I have no idea. Luck. As I said, if you look at the engineering of other devices that have gone over the falls successfully with people in them, they're no joke. Most of them are pretty well engineered. At the very least, people wear helmets. I don't know. She just was the luckiest person at that time because there's no real reason for her to have survived that.
So what about the rest of her life? And more importantly, did she manage to make any money from this stunt? Because that was the reason she did it.
No, she didn't make any money, really. Her thinking was she would go on tour, talk of her adventures and make money. She put together a brochure of her life, but she just never really made it. She didn't have that sort of stage personality. I think people thought of her as a little silly. The brochure she put together seemed a litany of tall tales about her life. And so people just really didn't have any interest in hearing her. And then by 1911, a British gentleman went over the falls successfully, and he actually broke multiple bones and spent months in recovery. And he went on tour, and people were far more interested in hearing his story. So she ended up not making any money and dying in poverty.
Oh,
yeah. So she died in poverty in 1921 in Lockport, New York.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm sure she felt just very, very ill-used by fate that this British guy came and basically stole her thunder and made money. Rachel Clark, Michigan History Center, with the story of Bay City teacher Annie Edson Taylor, the first person in recorded history to go over Niagara Falls and live. And just think, the next time anybody goes to that Canadian side and you stand right there seeing that water pouring over the edge of the Horseshoe Falls, think of what that must have been like. Wow. Hey, thanks, Rachel.
Thank you very much. And a shout out to all the teachers back in the classroom.